Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Jamuna Tira All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Shri Guru and Guru. Om Namah. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So as we heard, today is a very auspicious day. It's Ekadasi. You'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We're observing Ram Vijayotsava and also the appearance of Sri Madhvacharya. So because there's so much to cover, we'll make things short and roll one into the other. So let's start with Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we're reading Canto 3, Chapter 2, entitled Remembrance of Krishna, Lord Krishna. Text 30. Prayuktan Bhoja Rajena Maina Kamarupina. Is that the wait a minute, is that the right verse? No? We're supposed to be doing verse 30. I think.
What verse is that?
That's not 30 for sure. According to this book.
Is
3230.
Yeah. No, because it said something about Gopal Kumar.
No, that's not 3230. It doesn't look like it. Prayuktan Bhoja Rajena Maina Kamarupinaha Lilaya Vyanudatam Stan Bala Kridana Kaniva Prayuktan Bhoja Rajena Maina Kamarupina Lilaya Vyanuda Tamstan Bala Kridana Kaniva Prayuktan Bhoja Rajena Maina Kamarupina Lilaya Vyanudatam Stan Bala Pridana Kaniva. Please chant.
Prayuktan
Bhoja Rajena. Prayuktan Bhoja Rajena Maina Kamarupinaha Nilaya Vyanudattam Stan Bala Kridana Kaniva. Mother.
Prayuktan
Bhoja Rajena Maina Kamarupina
Lilaya
Vyanudattam
Stan
Bala Kridana Kaniva Prayuktan Bhoja Rajena
Maina Kamarupina
Maina Kamarupina
Ilaya Gyanudattam Stam Bala Kridana Kaniva
Prayuktam
Engaged
Boja Rajena
by King Kamsa
Mainaha
Great Wizards
Kama Rupinaha
Who could assume any form they liked?
Lilaya,
in the course of the pastimes.
Vyanudat,
kill.
Tan,
them.
Pan,
as they came there.
Balaha,
the child.
Kridanakan,
dolls.
Eva,
like that.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Boja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls. Purport. The atheist Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, but just after his birth. He failed to do so, but later on he got information that Krishna was living in Vrindavan at the house of Nanda Maharaj. He therefore engaged many wizards who could perform wonderful acts and assume any form they liked. All of them appeared before the child Lord in various forms, like Aga, Bata, Putana, Shakata, Trinavarta, Denuka, and Gardava. As they tried to kill the Lord at every opportunity. But one after another, all of them were killed by the Lord as if he were playing with dolls. Children play with toy lions, elephants, boars, and many similar dolls, which are broken by the children in the course of their playing with them. Before the Almighty Lord, any powerful living being is just like a toy lion in the hands of a playing child. No one can excel God in any capacity, and therefore no one can be equal to or greater than him. Nor can anyone attain the stage of equality with God by any kind of endeavor. Jnana, Yoga, and Bhakti are three recognized processes of spiritual realization. The perfection of such processes can lead one to the desired goal of life in spiritual value, but that does not mean that one can attain a perfection equal to the Lord's by such endeavors. The Lord is the Lord at every stage. When he was playing just like a child on the lap of his mother, Yashoda Mai, or just like a cowherd boy with his transcendental friends, he continued to remain God without the slightest diminution of his six opulences. Thus, he is always unrivaled. Om Agyana Tumanda Se Agyana Janachala Kaya Chakshurin Nirtan Yenatas Maishin Guru Vinaya Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Vintalesha Matishila Vibhav Prabhuti Namini Shri Shri Vrinda Tavivira Padapad Bankajayadayane Prabhupada Lugaraya Namah Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachayane Nibhishesha Sindhavadi Pascha Tadeshi Kaya Hare Krishna. So here Sri Uddhava is remembering Lord Krishna and his pastimes. As a child, how he's being attacked by so many demons and how he killed them all very easily. So there are nine processes of devotional service, and we find that Uddhava adopted mainly two processes of Kirtanam and Shravanam, that's chanting and hearing. Chanting and remembering, Smarnam. So, why is this so? because all Uddhava's manifestations, his incarnations, are all based on these principles. They all engage in chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes. So, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Uddhava's first manifestation was Sri Prahlad Maharaj, who was engaged in chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes. That happened in Satya Yuga. Then in Treta Yuga, he came again in Lord Ram's pastimes as Angad, the son of Vali. Then in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna's pastime, he came as Uddhava. And down in Kali Yuga, in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, he came as the great Saint Tukaram, of chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes. So here Uddhava is remembering some of the pastimes that took place. So shortly after Krishna took birth, the Sputana demon, she demon came, tried to kill Krishna. And Krishna was so kind to her because in her previous life, she was the daughter of Maharaj Bali, Ratnamala. So when the Lord appeared as the dwarf incarnation, Vamana, this very beautiful child, when she saw him, her motherly affection instinct kicked in, and she desired to nurse him from her breast. So Krishna gave her a nod and of acceptance, yes, you'll get an opportunity to nurse me from your breast. But after he manifested and about to subdue Bali, she got so angry that she wanted to kill him. So again, Krishna says, yes, you'll have that opportunity. So when she came as Putana, she had the opportunity to nurse Krishna from her breast, and then she had the opportunity of trying to kill Krishna. So after that, when Krishna was playing around, crawling around, his mother was nursing him, the whole Damodar pastime, which we all know. And she put him down to go and attend to the milk. Krishna got angry. He became mischievous, broke some of the butter pots. And Mother Yashoda tied him up. So he said, now I'm going to do something more than that. So he dragged the mortar that was he was tied to between the two twin Arjuna trees, knocked the trees over, and the two demigods came out, offered prayers and left. So after this large crash, everyone was coming because at that time only Krishna and his little friends were there. The elders weren't there. So Nanda Baba came running and asked what happened. So his little friends explained that, oh, he pulled his mortar between these two trees, they got knocked over, and two beautiful guys came out. They offer prayers to Krishna, circumambulating him. These are their names, and they left. So Nanda Baba immediately got a little upset that Mother Yashoda would do something to like that to Krishna to tie him. But then he said something that's very significant. He said he's not going to interfere with the relationship between two other people, between mother and son, between the Lord and his devotees. So this is one thing that's very significant in our tradition, that one of the greatest offense is Gauravagya, offense to the Guru. The second offense is to create a dissension in the relationship between two other devotees. That's a very, very dangerous offense. Create dissension, not because you may have a bad relationship with someone, that you're trying to stop somebody else from having a good relationship with that person. So like that, Nanda Baba said he's not going to interfere, but he said, come Lala, I'll teach you to worship the Shalagram Shila. So as he put him on his lap, Mother Yashoda came. He said, no, I don't want to go to Mother Yashoda because she's treating me bad. So anyway, Nanda Baba took him in, and when he saw this little shalagram, he said, oh, this is a wonderful plum, and he reached for it, and Nanda Baba said, no, that this is Shalagram Shila, very sacred, I have to teach you how to properly worship. Now you're growing up, and he was just calling around. So now you're growing up, you have to learn how to worship Shalagram, learn responsibility. So then Nana Baba starting to do the Abhishek, perform Abhishek with the milk and ghee, so the Shalagram was wet with everything. And then he forgot some ingredients, so he said, you stay here, I'm going to go in the other room and get the ingredients and come back. So when Nana Baba left, Krishna says, now I get my chance to eat this plum. So he grabbed the Shalagram Shila, stuck it in his mouth, he said, uh-oh, this is not a plum, and he got stuck. The hard Shalagram got stuck in his mouth, the butter starts leaking out, the butter and the ghee and milk. And he started making noise because he can't talk, it's just full in his mouth. Mother Yashoda heard, and she came and she said, here he is again, you know, stealing and making a mischief, stealing milk and butter. So then she started chastising, and he's trying to tell Mother Yashoda, no, 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 but he can't talk because everything is full in his mouth. So like that, it, you know, like very, very sweet pastimes. And after that, as Krishna and Balaram starts walking around, they would start walking out of the courtyard and the neighbor's yards and so forth. One day they saw this, some rose bushes with some nice roses in the center. And they said, let them go and get some. It looks very pretty. So as they're going in, there are so many thorns. So they start using their hands and moving the thorn bushes. And they went in and they got the roses and filled their arms. You know, the little, their arms are filled. And now they have to come back out. So now their arms are filled. They can't move the bushes. And they don't want to let loose of the roses. And the rose starts poking them. So then they start screaming and the neighbors came and caught them. The gopis. They caught them stealing roses, and then Mother Yashoda had to come and save him again. So another time, Krishna saw, he was roaming around in the village, and he saw one gopi had her butter pot on the front porch, but hang high, as usual, so they can't get them. And he started looking around and thinking, okay, how can I reach there? My friends aren't here. But he saw a calf, he said, okay, get an idea. So he jumped on the back of this calf and lured the calf under the butter pot, stood up and reached the pot. He grabbed the pot. Soon as he grabbed the pot, the calf got scared and ran away. And he left slung up there. So he starts crying and screaming, Maya, Maya. And like that, all the neighbors saw, they caught him again stealing. So again, you know, he's been like stealing from the neighbors, stealing from the gopis. So as he grew up a little more and he starts moving out, when he was qualified to go out in the fields to start taking care of the calves, now he had the opportunity to go out with his friends. And as he was going, they were playing. And when they were playing, Krishna would always cheat. Every time he lose, he would cheat and said, no, I won. So Subal says, well, if you're going to cheat, you can't play with us. And Balaram is also telling me, yes, you know, don't cheat. And he said, no, 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 I'm not cheating. I'm just doing what is right. So he was continuing to cheat. And then the boy said, well, if you're going to cheat, you can't play with us. You have to stay aside. So he said, okay. So he sat in a corner and he started crying because he can't play with his friends. So then they came up and said, okay, you can come and play with us, but you can't cheat. So he said, okay, I won't cheat, but I want to play. So then they said, well, you have to become a horse and you ride on your back. He said, oh, no, no, no. And he puffed up his chest. He said, do you know who I am? I am the son of Nanda Maharaj, and my father has 900,000 cows. Subal said, wait a minute, let's get these figures straight. You're being proud that your father is having 900,000 cows. My father has 1,100,000 cows, so what do you have to say about that? So he said, okay, so let's play. And then he started becoming mischievous again. So then Balaram turned to Krishna, which he normally he would taunt him in public. So he turned to Krishna in front of all his friends and he said, Krishna, you know what? I want to tell you something. You want to harass Krishna. So he said, I want to tell you something. He said, look at you. And he said, look at Nanda Baba, and look at Mother Yashoda, and look at me. He said, did you notice anything? So, you know, little Charlie's kind of scratching his head. What are you talking about? He said, look at Nanda Baba, he's fair. Mother Yashoda is fair. I am fair, and you are dark. Did you get a message? He said, no. He said, well, let me tell you something, you're not your son. So Krishna starts crying and he ran home to Mother Yashoda complaining what how Balaram harassed him. So Mother Yashoda comforted him. So and then, but she said, well, but you know, Krishna, I can't understand. Why is it that you're stealing so much? It's so embarrassing. You're stealing that. You're a thief. You're the father of thief. All thieves came from you, descending from you. Why is it you're stealing so much? So Krishna starts, you know, rubbing his chin. He said, Maya, can I ask you something? She said, yes, Lala. Said, do you know your father? Said, yes. Do you know his name? Yes, of course, I know my father's name. And do you know his father? She said, yes. And he said, do you know his father? She said, I don't, but in our lineage book, his name is there. He said, can you tell me his name? He said, my great-grandfather's name was Chor Ghosh. So Krishna started laughing. He said, you're calling me thief, and look who is a thief. Your great-grandfather is Chor Ghosh, because Chor means thief. So your side of the family is actually the thief, and you're calling me thief? So just look at this. So Mother Yashoda said, okay, never mind, let's change the conversation. Let me tell you some story of Lord Ram. So then she started telling Krishna of when Ram had a fight with Ravan, how they were, this battle was there, and immediately Krishna cut her off, and Krishna started relating the pastimes. That, oh, you know, he started behaving like Ram. He said, Lakshman, bring my arrow, I'm going to end this demon myself. And he started describing, so Mother Yashoda said, wait a minute, I never told you these stories. How do you know about all of this? So he said, yes, this is true, that if you don't believe me, he said, these are all my pastimes, that Ram is my expansion. So Mother Yashoda looked very confused, and she said, what are you talking about? He said, okay, you don't believe me? Ask Lord Brahma. He said, do you know about Brahma? He said, yes, you ask Lord Brahma. So what happened in the Ram Leela on this Vijayotsava, that what they were celebrating today is Ram Vijayotsava, is the Ram's victory over Ravan. So after the battle that Ram, we know the whole story, Ram defeated Ravana, killed Ravana, killed so many of his Rakshasa army, re-establish peace in Lanka, establish Vibhishan as the king, and then they brought back Mother Sita. So when they brought Mother Sita, it's a whole long description, but just to cut it short, because we want to talk something about Madhavacharya. So when he brought Mother Sita, Lord Ram says, I have not destroyed Ravan because he kidnapped you, not for your sake, but I've done it to protect religion and to destroy the demon than to protect my reputation. That now I've done my duty, now you feel free to go wherever you want to. That I've done my duty, I've freed you, now feel free that you're now contaminated, being in the house of another. So it was really unbearable because all the demigods were there, headed by Lord Brahma. And Mother Sita says, if you know that's the way you're going to think about me, if that was the way, why did you create so much havoc? Why didn't you leave me alone? Why did you kill so many lives? Why cause some loss of so many lives just because of your own repetition? And she said, this is intolerable, that I'll just end my life. So she told Lakshman that just build me a pyre and I'll enter the fire. So Lakshman turned to Ram, thinking Ram going to say no. And Ram shook his head, yes. So he built it. He was a younger brother. He was forced to follow instructions. And Mother Sita went in the fire, blazing fire. Long story short, she came back out on the lap of Suryadev, the sun god, and proved to Ram and everyone there that she was pure in body, words, and mind. Yeah. She had her BMW, body, words, and mind, pure. So at that point, then they start celebrating. So, and at that point, Lord Brahma start describing. He starts speaking to Lord Ram. He said, you have to recollect yourself, O Lord Ram, that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You came from Krishna, who is the original personality. You're one of his main manifestations. And this Mother Sita is none other than the goddess of fortune, that who cannot be contaminated by anyone. So this is a story that Krishna was telling Mother Yashoda, that Ram came from him. So said, ask Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is describing how Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Ram is an expansion. And then they start revealing the qualities of Lord Ram, the purpose of his coming here, and so on and so forth. So it went on. So like that, Mother Yashoda and Krishna has this wonderful exchange. So anyway, so also today marks the appearance of Madhvacharya. So in one of his presentations, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj describes that this material world is like a dark well, and the only hopes of getting out are four ropes that are hanging in this well. So those four ropes represents the four sampradayas, or the four paramparas. And those four parampara systems that emanates from Krishna is one, the Sri Sampradaya, also called the Lakshmi Sampradaya. Second, the Rudra or Shiva Sampradaya. Third, the Brahma Sampradaya, in which we came in. And the fourth, the Kumaras or the four Kumara Sampradayas. So each one of these sampradayas will only came from the Lord and flow through these four personalities. But there is a main prominent personality, a prominent acharya in each one of these sampradayas that really promoted and established these sampradayas. So in the Sri or Lakshmi Sampradaya, the main acharya there was Ramanuja Acharya. Then the Shiva Sampradaya or Rudra Sampradaya, the main acharya was Vishnu Swami. The four Kumara Sampradaya was Nimbarkacharya. And our Brahma Sampradaya, the main prominent acharya was Madhvacharya. So you have Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, then Madhva. And not to confuse Madhva with Madhava. The eighth personality in our disciple succession is Madhava, which is the name of Krishna. But Madhva is, this is a different personality. This is our prominent acharya in our line. It comes from the word madhu. Madhu means honey or sweetness, something sweet. And dha means knowledge. So Madhva is one who has sweetness and ecstasy in knowledge, or who is knowledgeable and ever blissful. So this is Madhava. So he's our prominent acharya. That's why our Gaudiya line, or this line of parampara, is called Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. That he begins with Lord Brahma, It was mainly propagated by Madhava, and the conclusion is Gaudiya, Lord Chaitanya, that he established the Sankirtan movement where we all fall in. So that explains the name and how Madhava Acharya came in place. So his main propagation was the Dvaitavad. So Vad means philosophy, like Mayavad, Mayavad philosophy. So Dvaitavad means, the Dvaita means dual or double, which indicates that the Lord and the living entities are different. They are not one. They are different. So previous to that, Shankaracharya, who is a manifestation of Lord Shiva, by the instruction of Lord Vishnu in the Padma Puran, had instructed that Lord Shiva should manifest as a Brahmin boy and preach a bogus philosophy that would delude the atheists, that would delude people who are not very interested in spiritual life. So it's like that, you create like a filtering process, filter out all these so that the devotees can peacefully carry on their devotional service. So that's what Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya did. He created the Advaita philosophy, the philosophy of oneness, that we're God, Narayan is God, we're all God. So Madhvacharya came to change that, because they're now separated, everybody is so deluded by that, he came to pick out all the ones who want to become devotees and establish the proper dharma of devotional service. So that was his main duty. And he was a very powerful acharya, very, as what Maramukhe explained this morning. He's the incarnation of Hanuman in Treta Yuga, who came as Bhim in Dwapar Yuga, and now Madhvacharya. So one question might be there, that how come Madhva came just after Vyasa, but that we'll explain later. So anyway, this was his main purpose, to establish the philosophy of Vaishnavism. So his process is called Sad Vaishnavas, not to confuse that with Sri. So what happened was, his father, Narayana Bhatta, and his wife, they had two sons who passed away immediately after birth. And so they were very sad that two of their sons passed away. So they decided to perform severe austerities to the Lord and pray for the Lord to give them a son who would be a pure devotee. So for 12 years, it's described that they performed severe austerities, and all they did was to sip milk. Can you imagine that, sipping milk for 12 years? How about keeping Ekadasi for one day? So anyway, not to speak of Nirjal Ekadasi. I remember I was almost kicked out of the temple because I went out on Sankirtan on Ekadasi day. So they said, no, Ekadasi, you should stay home, don't do any service. So you eat a lot the day before, you fast on that day, and the next day you can't do any service because you're too tired. So anyway, they did Ekadasi, they did this fast, which is Ekadasi, milk alone, for 12 years. And then the Lord became pleased with them and invoked this Vayu as Madhvacharya, Madhva, in their lives. So at birth, his name was Vasudev. So when he was a child, just 6 years old, there's something that happened. His father was a Brahmin, very Paka Brahmin, but very poor. And just to maintain their lives, he was taking loans, like encountering debts, just to maintain his family. So one day, one of the money lenders came, and of course, he was so poor that he wasn't able to pay these debts back. So this moneylender came and said, I want my money now. So the father said, I don't have it. So he was kind of sad. He said, well, I'm not leaving. And if you don't give me my money today, your house is going to be mine. I'll take your house away. So Madhava, this little Madhava Vasudev came and asked, Baba, what's happening? Why are you so sad? So he explained that this money lender came for his money. I don't have it to give to him. And it's a big problem. He said, oh, that's a problem. That's no big problem. That I'll go and acquire the wealth for him, acquire whatever he wants. So his father is thinking, oh, this child, he doesn't understand the realities of life. Just childish talk. So he went in the backyard where they had a tamarind tree. And he grabbed a handful of tamarind seeds. And he came back to the money lender who was standing in front of his father and said, look, take these seeds. And the money lender was very angry. He said, I don't want tamarind seeds. I want my money. So he said, you just take these tamarind seeds. And he said, no, I want my money. He said, you're going to have your money, but just be patient. Trust me, just hold on to these seeds. And as soon as he put the seeds in the hands of this money lender, each seed became a gold coin. And then little Madhva says, now, do you get enough money? Is my father's debt paid off? He said, yes. He said, now you can go. So like that, when he was just a child of 6 years old. But before that, when he was a baby, just crawling around in the neighborhood, in the courtyard, he was attacked by a big, huge, venomous cobra. And this little child with his leg, he crushed the head of that cobra against a rock. And by his mystic power, he pushed the entire body of this snake embedded into this rock. And until now, that stone is there, that rock is there. If you go to Udupi, the villagers will show you that rock and they will tell you that story. So just as a little baby, because he's Hanuman, he has the world of strength. So then at 6 years old, this incident took place. When he was 8 years old, on or about, his father sent him to school, to Gurukula. When he went to Gurukula, when he went to school, instead of paying attention to the teacher, he was running around and playing and, you know, doing all sort of stuff, everything other than attending. So the teacher got angry at him that, your father is such a great Brahmin. And look at you, that aren't you going to learn something? Aren't you going to try to learn? I'm trying to teach you here, but you're not paying attention. So Madhva says, what proof do you have that I'm not paying attention? He said, tell me what I just said. So then Madhvacharya, little Madhva, he related word for word what the teacher said from the very morning until then and explained everything. Plus, he told him what he would discuss the day to come in the future. So then the teacher said, you don't really need to be here. You already know everything, so you can go home. So he said, would you let me play now? He said, yes, you can play. So as he was growing up a little bit more, he started to, growing up in society, he learned that the Shankar philosophy of impersonalism is reigning. It was very prominent all over. So one day he told his father, he said, I am going to become a world-class preacher and defeat that Mayavad philosophy and establish Vaishnavism, that devotion to Lord Krishna. So his father said, that will never happen, that you would never be qualified to do that, that this philosophy is so prominent. At that time, little Madhava, he was about 8 years old or so, 8, 9 years old. He had a piece of stick in his hand. So his father said, I'll tell you what, if you can plant that dry stick in the ground and let it turn into a tree, then yes, you can be a world preacher and defeat the Mayavad philosophy. So he said, is that all the test you're going to give me? He said, yes, just prove it to me. So he broke this stick in three parts, sticking in three different places, and three trees immediately grew up. So he said, Baba, you asked for one, but I'm giving you three. Is that satisfying? That's when his father became convinced. He said, yes, that this boy is going to be a world preacher. Which means, to be a world preacher, what has to happen? He has to take sannyas. Now this is his only son. And he's getting the indication that his son is going to leave home and go away. He's going to take sannyas. So what does the Vedic parents do? Like, what did they do with Raghunath Das Goswami when they see that he's so inclined to Lord Chaitanya? They arrange to get him married. So they're arranging to get little Vasudev married at that time. So whilst they're thinking like that, what did you think Vasudev did? Like what Raghunath Das Goswami did. Run away from home. So he ran away, and there he met Achyuta Preksha, one prominent acharya. Achyuta Preksha. And he started learning under him. He acquired his teachings from him. And at 12 years old, which is just a short boy, I noticed nowadays, or like in Indian kids, at 12 they're really short. I had his height when I was 11 years old. So at 12 years old, this boy was short, and he took sannyas. That's why if you see pictures of Madhvacharya, his sannyas danda is so short, because as he grew up, he grew tall and the danda remained short. So that's why he has this short danda. So at that point, he took sannyas and he starts his world preaching. He starts preaching vigorously. And as he was preaching, he was establishing Vaishnava Dharma all over. And he also met his grand spiritual master, who is the spiritual master of Achyuta Preksha, who is Purnagyan, who also is sannyasi in the Mayavada order. You heard Mother Mukhi mention that he took sannyas from Mayavadis. Actually, that's not quite correct. There's some explanation to that. Because the Mayavad practice was so prominent, Shankaracharya, before he left, he told his followers, he says, the only obstacle that you have is this Purnagyan, who is such a strong devotee that is cutting down your Mayavad system of philosophy. So they misinterpret that instruction of their guru Shankaracharya and took it to mean that they should try to get rid of Purnagyan and Achyuta Preksha, these two prominent Vaishnava acharyas. So they were trying to kill them. They were trying to burning their houses, burning all of anyone who's following them. So their lives were at stake. So then they decide that to save their lives, outwardly we would present ourselves as Mayavadis, but inwardly we are Vaishnavas. So that's why they presented like Mayavadis. So with their danda, even Madhvacharya's danda, I think it only has the one pole, which means all is one. But the Vaishnava sannyasis, they have the three prongs. The three prongs represents body, mind, and words. So that with body, mind, and words, they surrender to Krishna. So every sannyasi in our ISKCON movement, you see that they walk around with their BMW. Body with its three prongs, body, mind, and words, BMW. So anyway, like that, Shankar Madhva Acharya was presenting himself initially following in his guru's footsteps, but then he started preaching vigorously and none of them could have defeated him until he fully crashed that philosophy. So lastly, he was by the ocean one day, he was composing verses, glorifying the Lord, singing bhajans. And then there was a boat that came in and got stuck on the river banks. And no one can get it out. So the owner of the boat came to Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya asked, what happened? He said, oh, my boat got stuck. Can you help me? He said, sure. So he took his cloth and he started fanning his cloth. where far away where he was sitting. So because he's Vayu, he can produce any strength of wind. So the strength of that wind that produced from the fanning of his cloth pushed that boat away offshore, freed it, and so the boat was saved. The owner was very happy. Then he called Madhvacharya. He said, "Please come and take anything you want from this boat as a gift." So Madhvacharya went, and he saw this big rock. In those days, that does have like rocks, you know, sometimes on fan, it would have weights that would balance the fan so it won't tilt when it's spinning. Similarly, they have weights that would put it on a certain place in the boat so it keep the boat in balance. So there was this big rock that was covered with Gopi Chandan. So Madhvacharya looked at it and says, "I think I'll take this. I like this. I like this big rock." And this thing was so big and heavy that it's described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj that 35 men couldn't lift this rock. But Madhvacharya picked it up with his right hand, and he put his left hand on his waist and looked at it. He said, "This is a very nice rock. You know, I think I like this. I'll take this." And he was walking home with it, walking all the way back to his ashram. And as he was walking, this stone, this big rock, broke. All the chandan fell off. And what left in the middle? A beautiful deity of Bal Gopal. So the history behind this deity is that when Krishna was in Dwarka, Devaki was there with him after he dismantled Ravana, Kamsa. He took Mother Devaki and his father and everybody, took them to Dwarka when he became the king of Dwarka, the prince there. So one day Mother Devaki told him, he said, "You know, I give birth to you, you know, you appeared from me, but I never had a chance to see all your childhood pastimes." And by the way, you might have remembered in our last class, we described that there were two Krishnas. One is Devaki Nandana Krishna, and the other is Yashoda Nandana Krishna. So it described that Krishna appeared in Dwarka, in Mathura, but he took birth in Vrindavan, in Vraja. So even in the Gopis' prayers in the 10th canto, the very first verse, Jayati Dedikam Janmana Vraja. So they're saying, "Oh my Lord, you took birth in the land of Vraja." So they're conforming. And Jiva Goswami also gave an elaborate explanation in his book, Gopal Champu, how Krishna actually took birth in Vrindavan. So anyway, so Mother Devaki asked, "Krishna, I've never seen your babyhood pastimes. Can you please show it to me that I heard so much, that I was deprived of this opportunity?" So Krishna manifests himself as a little Bal Gopal and showed her a lot of his pastimes. At that time, Mother Rukmini, Queen Rukmini, heard about it, and she came, but by the time she came, Krishna finished showing all the pastimes. So she said, "Can you also show me your pastimes? This, you know, your childhood pastimes?" So Krishna says, "I really don't think so." Said, "You know, I can be with Bear Coping in front of my mother, that's my mother, I can play around in front of her, but you're my wife, I can't be with Bear Copings in front of you and show you pastimes. I can't do that. That's too embarrassing, you know, to stand like that in front of my wife and showing all pastimes in public. I can't do that." But then Rukmini says, "Please, please do something. I want to see." He said, "Okay." And then from his mind, he manifested this little Bal Gopal deity and gave it to Rukmini. He said, "Worship these deities and all those pastimes will manifest to you." So after Krishna left the planet, and Arjuna, remember Arjuna went to retrieve, to protect all Krishna's queens, and as he was coming back with them, he got defeated by these cowherd men. So Arjuna had that deity with him. And to protect the deity, he buried the deity in a place called Gopikund. So, and he forgot about his deity, that his deity was there. So that deity spent 4,500 years there. Until somehow or the other, this Gopikund is popular, so people are going to excavate the kund. This lump of stone and chandan is there, and they pass it on and on, and somehow or the other, it came to this boatman. And as soon as Madhvacharya saw that stone, he immediately knew what's there, that chandan, and he took it. So then he reestablished that this deity. So if you go to Udupi, this deity is there, and what's the name of that deity? Udupi Krishna. So that's the deity, that's the history of that deity. So it's Madhvacharya who established this deity as Udupi Krishna. So, and shortly after, immediately after Madhvacharya established that deity, then he ended his pastimes in this world. Yeah, so this is, it's much more detailed, but I try to cut it short because of the essence of time. So, these are some of the points. So from childhood, we can actually, now I can tell you the words that would let you remember these pastimes. So Madhvacharya's pastime, we can start with snake, seeds, lesson, stick, marriage, sannyas, deity. So from childhood, babyhood, he crushed the snake. Then the childhood, he took the tamarind seeds, made them into coins and paid off his father's debt. Then lessons, he went to school and didn't pay attention but learned everything. Then he planted the sticks and proved to his father that he's going to become a world preacher. Then his father wanted to get him married, so he ran away from home, he took sannyas, and then he finally established the Balgopal deity as the Udupi Krishna. So these are just some bullet points on the life of Madhvacharya. We can stop here. Are there any questions, Mother Ragatmika?
Wow, that was a class of one story after another.
Yeah, because there's so much, I try to condense. It takes much longer if you go into details, at least a couple of hours or more.
Two questions. Yeah. What was the source of Krishna's pastimes you were telling?
Yeah, those are told by some of our acharyas. Some of them are there in the, what's the name of that book by Kavi Karnapur? Ananda Vrindavan Champu. There are many places. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told some of those pastimes. Gaur Govinda Swami told a lot of those pastimes.
Okay, also, we're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya.
Yeah.
But Madhava Acharya is the Acharya.
Yeah, no, there is Madhva Acharya, who we just spoke about. And then there's another Acharya, so Madhva Acharya is number 5. If you say Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, Madhva Acharya, and I'll explain how he come in that position, because if you look at the disciplic succession, after Narada, you have Padmanabha and so forth, but Madhva is there, and then in number 8 is Madhava. Which is a name of Krishna. That's a different acharya, Madhava Acharya. So was that the completeness of your question?
So you were just describing the pastimes of Madhva.
Madhva Acharya, yes. As the prominent acharya in the line of Vaishnavism of our Brahma Sampradaya.
Okay.
Yes.
But down the line, there is Madhava.
Madhava, yes.
Madhava.
Yeah, Madhava Acharya also.
Also. Okay.
Yeah, if you look at the whole disciplic succession,
yeah,
you'll see it. So how come, I think I touched on it earlier and I forgot to explain, how come Madhva Acharya came after Vyasa, is that after he took sannyas, then he went to Badrika Ashram. And there he met Vyasadeva. Well, Vyasadeva was there since in Krishna's time, so thousands of years old. But because they are eternal, it is said that there are seven eternal personalities that are here. Like Vyasa is one, Hanuman is one, who is in a sense is also Madhava. There are others, Markandeya Rishi and so forth. So Vyasa is one of them. So because they're all great personalities, they immediately recognize each other. Vyasa immediately recognized Madhva Acharya, and Madhva Acharya immediately recognized Vyasadeva. So he took instructions, he took shiksha, instructions from Madhva Acharya. Because our line, if you look at our line in our Vaishnava culture, most of the Acharyas, they're shiksha Acharyas, most of them. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so forth. They're, you know, a lot of them is like a shiksha line. So he took shiksha from Vyasadeva. And that's how his name came after Vyasadeva. Does that explain? Thank you so much. Is there any other questions? So anyway, I guess we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.